Well, hey, Paige.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, you know, I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we took Sunshine to go see his first movie in the movie theater today.
Oh,
Maybe
today.
today.
Oh.
Yeah, we went to go see the Paw Patrol movie, the new one with the dinosaurs.
Adorable.
Loved it. He did great,
Oh,
actually.
that's good.
I mean, a couple times he, was talking, but I was like, it's a kid's movie. Like, it's
Yeah,
fine. Like,
no one
who
cares.
cares?
The adults are
But,
scrolling through their phones. The other kids are
yeah.
also talking.
You know what? As much as I do not like the Paw Patrol show or watching it with Sunshine, they do a pretty good job on those movies. Like, I was pretty invested in this one.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Game Boy and I took Pop Tart to see it last week, and what I did. I didn't catch a moment of it because I was reading the book with the author that we're going to be
Oh yeah, I
interviewing.
was gonna ask how you were doing with that, but we
Pretty
can.
good, pretty good. Oh, I'm liking it. I was nervous because I was like, oh, what if I hate it and I have to not be a huge bitch? But I don't hate it.
Good.
I'm enjoying it.
Good. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm excited for that. We'll have to figure that one out. But what I really want to tell you about is the little girl who was sitting behind
Tell
us,
me everything.
the most hilarious child. Just like just had one of those voices that, like, no matter how loud the movie got, like, it just like
Cut
cut
right through.
through it, and just saying like the funniest things out loud. The best one is, when like Marshall is like climbing up the mountain to try to stop the volcano or whatever,
Why
and
does
he's
Marshall look like he has male pattern baldness? Can we talk about Marshall without the I did catch that. That's like the one thing I got. Sorry, continue.
so he like falls and he's like laying on the ground like that.
They would not do that.
Not kill the,
They're
one
not
of the
going to
main
kill off.
characters in a children's movie.
Kids gotta learn sometime.
But yeah, no. And then at the end, she kept saying that Sunshine was her friend and kept saying hello to him and stuff. She was super cute.
I love it.
But yeah,
I love
anyway.
when kids who have never met before in their lives are just like, you're my best friend now. Will you hold my hand? It's just
Yeah.
so sweet and endearing.
Yeah.
Well, today we have a game episode,
Heck yeah.
and this is one of the early games that Game Boy introduced me to.
Okay.
So when I met Game Boy, I did not consider myself a gamer. I was a late gaming bloomer.
Okay.
Shall we say, due to a mixture of like parental restrictions on what I could play and just like good old fashioned self-confident, like lack of self-confidence,
Yeah.
where I was like, I'm going to be bad at this, so I'm not going to try because I'm going to be bad at this.
Exactly. That's how I approach most things in life.
Right. So when I met Game Boy, I had not played a game any more complicated or mature than like Tony Hawk's Underground. That was top of the pops for me. Yeah, I was sure I wouldn't be good at any of them. And even like throughout my entire first marriage, like my first husband was also a gamer, and I was like still too intimidated to touch most of them. And also like gaming was his thing, and he very much did not want to spend any more time with me than he was contractually obligated to, which is a big reason why he's my ex-husband.
That's wild.
But like never brought me into the gaming. Never even tried.
Don't get married if you don't want to spend time with that person, like, willingly. Like, if you feel as though you don't want to spend time with a person willingly, don't marry them.
Yeah.
I feel like that's pretty
Yeah.
self-explanatory.
Yeah. Yep. But then who would have written his philosophy papers for him in college?
Just because you wrote his philosophy papers doesn't mean you had to marry him.
Listen, I didn't think anybody else would want me. It's a long story.
No, I feel ya. I feel
But Game Boy,
you
he pushed past my initial hesitations. He was persistent. He was like, listen, Pixel, there are games I know you would love, with stories I know you would love. You just gotta believe in yourself and give them a try. And he obviously was right and is the reason I am here today in so many more ways than one. I love you, Game Boy.
Shout out to Game Boy.
But before we all collectively gag on how adorable Game Boy is, just like I gagged on his...
Stop! Oh my god, we're gonna get kicked off our network!
Anyway, today we will be talking about the third game that Game Boy ever introduced me to. First was Resident Evil 7, which will get its own episode one day. Second was The Last of Us, which will absolutely get its own episode because it's my favorite game ever. Nice. Then it was The Evil Within 2.
Evil Within 2.
So, Paige?
Yeah?
Let's rock this, bitch.
Yeah! Ooh, that was gross. I'm so sorry for your anyone, for the headphone wearers. Apologies.
So, The Evil Within 2 is a 2017 survival horror game. Developed by Tango Gameworks and published by Bethesda Softworks. It is the direct sequel of The Evil Within, which I did not play.
Okay.
But I watched a rundown of the plot. So basically, the story of Evil Within is interesting, but the gameplay was buggy.
Poo-poo garbage?
Yeah, in a way that, like... So most reviews of that game are like, here's what happened, the story's cool, the concept's cool, you're better off just playing the second game.
Gotcha.
Because they worked all the kinks out.
Gotcha.
By then. That's what I did. But some background on the first game, just to kind of get us into the story. Mm-hmm. The protagonist of both games is Detective Sebastian Castellanos. In game one, he is sent to Beacon Mental Hospital to investigate a mass murder that has taken place there.
Okay.
While there, he is kidnapped by a mysterious figure. He wakes up hanging upside down in a meat locker, of all places. That's not where you want to fucking wake up.
I don't want to wake up upside down anywhere.
True. But in a, at least, like, if you're somewhere warm, it's like, But if you're in a meat locker, you're upside down and
your meat
tits are frozen. So Sebastian spends the game trying to solve what happened at the mental hospital while also fighting his way out of these, like, increasingly surreal and dangerous environments. It's finally revealed at the end of the game, though there have been hints the whole time, that Sebastian is not in a hospital. He's not even in the physical world at all. He is inside the mind of a man named Ruvik, who is the killer that he is investigating.
How does that happen?
Using a device called STEM, Sebastian has entered his consciousness in an attempt to figure out exactly what happened, why it happened, and most importantly, to remove those murderous impulses right at the source.
I see.
Thing is, it doesn't fucking work.
Of course it doesn't. Because that's ridiculous.
So the game ends. The first game ends with Sebastian fighting Ruvik in his own mind, defeating him, being removed from STEM and waking up in the real world, and then smashing Ruvik's brain to bits.
Oh!
Because fuck that guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
The game, both games, explore themes of trauma. So, like, real-life trauma is manifested as various monsters inside of their minds.
You just really love playing games where traumas become manifest and you get to murder them.
I have my little foibles. I have my peccadillos. I have...
I'm just making an observation. Maybe I should try murdering my metaphorical traumas.
Maybe I just feel help. Like it's an interesting way of conceptualizing. It's like, for me, it's taking a traumatic thing and explaining it in a way that's like, it's in me, it affects me, but also it's not the totality of who I am. It is this, like, thing that I can wrap my head around, that I can visualize, and that I can ultimately overcome. And also, deep. Like, spooky monsters.
I mean, yeah.
Cool. And I feel like, in a video game, I'm interested in the exploration of trauma, and I think that is the easiest way to explore something like that in a game format, mm-hmm. Is to concretize it somehow, make it a thing that you can fight, that you can mm-hmm. interact with.
What kind of monster do you think, like, a bank robbery would manifest itself as?
Probably, like, I'm imagining, like, a giant, like, greedy glutton monster that just, Ooh. Like, is never satisfied. Or maybe like a Wendigo kind of a thing where it's like it's constantly ravenous.
I thought we were not supposed to say that name out loud.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure.
Fuck.
It's okay.
It's too late.
I'm gonna die now.
Okay. Well, that thing that's constantly ravenous and is like bone skinny because
yeah.
it eats and eats and eats and can't
yeah.
ever be satisfied. Like that sort of a but that's more a manifestation of the greed of the financial institution itself.
The one that I work for?
Yes. Yes, precisely. Yours isn't the worst offender. There are far worse banks out there.
I know.
But, yes. So yeah, life trauma monsters. You shoot Great. Them with a shotgun.
Perfect.
The sequel takes all those themes and expands on them because in 2, it isn't a serial killer's subconscious that you're exploring. It's your daughter's.
What?
Sebastian has been under the impression that his daughter Lily has been dead for the last 3 years. There was a house fire. He believes she didn't survive it. So Lily's quote-unquote death destroyed his marriage to his wife Myra. So all of that, coupled with his traumatic experience in STEM in the last game, has led Sebastian down a pretty dark path. He quit his job as a detective. He's developed a drinking problem. He's having a rough go with things. Absolutely. He's having a tough time. But one day, a woman named Julie, who works for Mobius, which is the parent company that created STEM.
Okay.
They're fucking umbrella. They're, yeah. you know.
Like. Mobius, that's an evil company's name.
Exactly.
Nobody creates a company doing good things and calls it Mobius.
Exactly. So, Julie was in STEM with Sebastian in the first game.
Okay.
So anyway, she reaches out to Sebastian and she says, "Hey, so good news. Your daughter didn't actually die 3 years ago. Bad news. We kidnapped her. And her mind was used as the core of a new machine called Union. That's kind of like STEM. And is powered by Lily's brain." They don't really explain, like, why her. What. It's just, like, they needed a pliable youth brain to build their machine with. And, like, this innocent child's brain was as good as any's.
And they were like, "Hey, you remember that dude we fucked over? Mm-hmm. Let's fuck him over again.
He's already ruined. He's already done for. We could ruin somebody else or we could just go further with this." I kind of get the logic, honestly.
Or we could not do any of it.
Or you could just fucking stop fucking around in people's brains, right? Right. So, powered by Lily's brain, Union is supposed to be this, like, idyllic, peaceful simulation of your all-American town where people could pay to escape to. Like, so it's kind of like Wall-E or The Matrix. Like, people pay to put their subconsciouses, their consciousness into Union while Mobius agents, like, keep their meat suits going topside and rake in a bunch of money. And things were going really well until they weren't.
No dip, Sherlock.
Things have gone very badly indeed in Union. All the people that were paying to be in there as an escape from the hardships of the real world, well, they've all been killed or their psyches have been turned into monsters. And if you die in the simulation, my friends, you die in real life.
Of course you do. Because why would anybody try to figure out how to make that not happen?
Mm-hmm. Mobius tells Sebastian, "Hey man, sorry we kidnapped your kid, our bad, but we've lost all contact with her mind." So they're only telling him because they need him for something, right?
Fuck Mobius, man.
They're like, actually, we know she's alive in Union somewhere because her meat suit is still going. Her heart's a pumping, her lungs are inflating and deflating. We can't find her consciousness, though. We figured you could, since you're her dad, and you know her, and she trusts you. And so can you just go in there and find our little cash cow, please and thank you? So Sebastian is royally pissed.
I would lit that whole place on fire.
And he's like, I never wanted to put my brain inside someone else's brain ever again. It was really bad the first time it happened. I have nightmares about it all the fucking time. But it's my kid. I gotta go in there and try to find my kid. So it goes into Union. And I'm just going to say now, this game is like stupid convoluted. The plot is just a fucking bowl of spaghetti. I'm going to give you the highlights, but there are a lot of twisty, turny details that are confusing and entirely unnecessary. So if you think that my summary is sloppy, it is not my fault this time. I promise you, it is the game. Sebastian is in Union. And he discovers that a serial killer named Stefano Valentini, one of my people.
What the fuck are these names?
This is what happens when a Japanese company is like, what are Americans called? Like, not that. Not fucking that. It's fine. Stefano Valentini.
Not the most Italian person you've ever heard of in your life.
He, or Sebastian Castellanos, like.
That's Spanish.
Is Sebastian a Spanish name, or is that like...
I think so. Or there is a...
I know Sebastian is a crab in the Caribbean. Under the sea. I'm going to turn away from this path before it takes me to Cancel Town. Okay. Stefano Valentini has infiltrated Union and is the reason that things have gone tits up. Specifically, Stefano was a renowned war photographer in the real world, and he held a dark secret. He loved murdering people in visually interesting ways so that he could take pictures of it. Just like the fucking guy in Life is Strange.
Oh, yeah!
Let me tell you something.
I forgot about that.
Let me tell you something. Photographers aren't real. I am convinced. From so many true crime stories, from so many works of fiction, if somebody comes up to you and says, I'm a photographer, I want to take...
Run away.
They're not real. Photographers don't exist.
They will murder you.
Yes. Don't ever trust a fucking photographer. So
All the girls who failed out of nursing school are going to be
That's such a takedown. Holy shit. Wow. I thought I was being cruel, but you just went in for the fucking jugular. Jesus.
Apparently I'm feeling footloose and fancy free today.
Don't you talk about feet in front of me. In Union...
I will touch your feet again.
No. I've been very good about keeping them over here. So, in Union, Stefano doesn't need to hide. He can have the absolute run of the place so long as he prevents Lily, the core personality, from communicating with the outside world and telling them what he's doing. She is Mobius's only view into what's happening in Union unless they plug in themselves. They can communicate with her.
Okay.
Other than that, they have to put themselves in her mind space.
Okay.
To really know what's going on. And the higher-ups don't want to do that because it's fucking dangerous. And
really?
They know that. They just want to convince other people to do it and to pay them for the privilege.
Right.
So, Stefano has kidnapped Lily, or at least her mind simulation thing. The thing is, it wasn't Stefano's idea to kidnap Lily.
It was Lily's idea?
No, he was hired by somebody, we'll get to that later, to kidnap Lily.
Okay.
It wasn't until after he had kidnapped her that he realized, hey, I can make this work for my own advantage. Like, the person who hired him didn't even know he was, like, a fucking crazy serial killer. It was just a coincidence that he, like, wanted to have the run of the place and kill everyone and take cool pictures of it.
Okay.
Just wait. You have no fucking clue where we're going with this. Just fucking wait.
Hey, research the people that you're hiring to kill other people.
Genuinely. Another thing. Okay, lesson one.
Listen, if you need to put a hit out on someone, there are legitimate reasons, I believe, but do your research.
Lesson one, photographers don't exist. Lesson two, hitmen do not exist. If you're online and you think you're hiring a hitman, that is a fed. You are talking to a police officer. There are no real, especially if they're like, I'll do it for $5,000. No, the fuck they will not. That is not a real hitman. There are no photographers. There are no hitmen. Are we clear? People at home? Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So, where the fuck? Okay. So, Sebastian fights and kills Stefano. But before he can rescue Lily, Myra, his ex-wife, appears from nowhere and whisks her away. Right after that, Sebastian is himself whisked away by a priest named Theodore. And this is where things really go off the fucking rails, but try to follow along. Trust it with me. Theodore.
Okay.
Theodore is like, listen, I hired Stefano to kidnap Lily. I didn't know he was a serial killer. That's my bad. I'm sorry. But I had this plan in cooperation with a bunch of Mobius employees and Myra, who had grown disillusioned with what Mobius was doing. They were going to destroy Union and Mobius as a corporation. And the first step of that process is getting Lily's consciousness out of there. Because they don't want her to go down with the system. They want to save her and then pull the plug on Union.
Got it.
However, the longer you spend in Union, the less in touch with reality you are. It fucks up your brain to not be in the real world. Right. Shocking. Did they not test this? Were there no academic studies?
There never are in the evil companies.
So at some point, Theodore lost his ever-loving mind, became obsessed with Lily, and just decided to kidnap her for the sake of kidnapping her, because he just wanted to kind of have her.
All right.
A little child pet.
Ew.
And I think a non-sexual way, but he is a priest.
Yeah.
So, let's not make any assumptions.
It doesn't even matter if it's sexual. No, it's
like, what are you doing? Teddy?
Get a dog.
Get anything besides this
human.
Get
a goldfish. Oh my god.
Absolutely. Sebastian is like, buddy, I definitely have to kill you. So, he tries. But Theodore has a secret weapon that he can use against Sebastian. Theodore has figured out how to use the manifestation of Sebastian's own guilt against him. And there's a lot of cause for guilt. Not protecting Lily from being kidnapped. His marriage falling apart. Abandoning his career. Becoming an alcoholic.
That's a lot of things to be guilty about.
So Theodore wins round one.
Mm.
But Sebastian goes back with some reinforcements, some buddies, and he's able to win with the help of these Mobius agents who aren't as lucky, and they all fucking die. And also his ex-wife Myra gives him a hand.
Cool.
But as soon as Theodore is dead, Myra is like, okay, Sebastian, get out of here. Lily and I are staying in Union forever. I know, just stay with me. I'm trying.
These people are stupid.
Yes. So, believing that Lily had died shattered Myra's psyche completely.
Uh-huh.
And now she believes that the only way to keep her safe from the dangers of the real world is to keep her locked in Union forever. Even though this place is pretty fucking dangerous and people are also dying here, but she's crazy. She doesn't.
Oh my god.
So she's like, no, my daughter and I will stay here forever. She is alive here and will be forever.
She's also alive in the meat suit.
Listen.
And when her meat suit dies, will she not die in the game?
It's unclear. It kind of, I don't know that they specifically address this, but it kind of seems like they have the technology at this point to just kind of keep that sucker going as long as they want.
It's gotta deteriorate eventually.
But it doesn't matter. If it's doing enough to keep the brain going and the brain is living somewhere else.
I guess.
I don't know.
What are you doing forever, though? You know what I mean? Like, that's just a lot of time to, like...
Especially, like, so, like, I played this game walking around. Union isn't, like, amazing. It's just a town. It's just a fake fucking town that's been overrun by horrors unimaginable. So, I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do. Fucking play checkers? I don't fucking know. Especially, it's like, listen... I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just because I don't have a fantastic relationship with my mom, but, like, being stuck with my mom in a small town for eternity.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think
so. I couldn't do that.
I don't think so.
I don't think I have anywhere near as bad a relationship as you do with your mom, and I wouldn't want to live with my mom in a small town for all eternity either. Yep.
So the final boss of this game is Sebastian versus Myra. She has transformed into a monster called the Matriarch, which is a giant woman that when you shoot it, doesn't squirt out blood, it squirts out milk, which is a little on the nose.
Fuck out of here.
It's a mom, get it? It's
last
her maternal
week,
instinct.
Last week with the titties, this week with the titties. It's too much.
This is definitely a game that a guy wrote. Defeating the Matriarch is akin to defeating the overprotective, out-of-touch part of Myra's psyche. So when you kill the Matriarch, Myra comes back to her senses and allows Sebastian and Lily to escape from Union.
Oh, good.
Myra, however, stays behind, collapsing the whole system from the inside out with her in it, like fucking Samson in the Philistine temple.
Wow.
And that's the plot of the game. Any fucking questions?
I guess not.
I guess not. What else could there be to try to know? My favorite part of the game is the very first... Sorry, gross. Please don't do that in front of me ever again. So, the first section inside Union, before you know what's going on and the plot ruins it, right? It's like this mini open world section where you're exploring downtown Union, you're looking around in these abandoned houses and businesses, and you break statues to get the keys that are inside of them, and you suck up green goo with a syringe, which I will explain in the gameplay section, which we will have a gameplay section this week. Are you not grateful, you pigs?
Praise
you swine?
Lord. Oh my god, don't call our fans swine. They're gonna stop listening.
They are absolutely not. If they're here, if they're still here, they're in it.
They're going to get tired of being insulted.
No, they're not.
Eventually.
I don't think so. Oink, oink, motherfuckers.
Wow.
So basically, it's just this open world part of the beginning of the game. It's just like a fun environment to explore, and it allows you to learn, like, how the upgrade system works, and how all the different weapons work, and what the enemy types are. And it's just, like, it's just fun. It's a fun little playground. Part where I wanted to smash the controller. Fucking Stefano Valentini. So his was the third to last boss battle. It was him, and then it was Theodore, and then it was the Matriarch. His was the hardest by far. I genuinely, at this point in the game, I got so frustrated. I was like screaming at my TV. And finally, I, like, threw the controller, and I went into my room, and I laid down on my bed, and I cried. Real, actual tears. And Game Boy walked in and was like, babe, are you okay? And I was like, no, I genuinely don't feel like I deserve to live. I'm so bad at this. Just put me out of my pathetic misery. The world would be better off without me. And Game Boy was like, you're joking, right? And I could see in his eyes for the first time, because we were still dating at this point, right? I could see this doubt creep in. Like, is this is the one I picked, huh? This is the person I moved in with? But it passed, and he allowed himself to be trapped into a lifetime commitment with me. So,
and
right, Game Boy?
Godspeed to him.
Right?
Truly.
Right? Character I had a crush on. So it was not Stefano Valentini. So in order to answer this question, I need to tell you a bit about Sebastian's mind palace. So in Union, Sebastian can kind of, like, retreat into his own subconscious.
Okay.
If he stares into a mirror, Claire de Lune starts to play.
Okay.
And he is transported back to his old office at the police station in his mind.
Okay.
And in this mind palace, Sebastian can do various things. He can look at and, like, think through the evidence that he's gathered so far. He has a workbench where he can craft materials like ammo and healing items, and he can upgrade his weapons. And down in the basement of the police station, there is a room with a wall covered in lockers and a medical examination chair.
Mm-hmm.
So the keys I mentioned earlier open the lockers, which, okay, brief angry aside here. You can open the lock. There's like 20-some lockers.
Mm-hmm.
You can open them in any order that you want to. You can start in the middle, you can start at the bottom, you can stop at the top, whatever.
Huh.
It creates the illusion that you are getting the items in a random order. But you're not. See, there's not, like, the way the game is programmed, there's nothing in the lockers. It basically, when you open a locker, it just manifests whatever the item is in a specific order. So no matter what you open, you always get the same items in the same order.
Oh, okay.
It's not pre-populated.
Gotcha. It's just whatever. So it's not like a certain object is assigned to a certain locker and you won't get it until you open that locker.
It's the order. It's,
gotcha.
And that pisses me off. Because I thought it was randomized. I thought I could get whatever and whatever. Nope. It's
but I
always...
feel like that would make it really hard to, like, what
but
if you open the wrong locker and you don't have the thing that you need to keep going?
My thing is, if you want to do it easy, you can open them in order. Like, you can open them.
I just don't see the point of giving, just make it only be able to open one at a time in the same order.
Listen.
What?
I don't know. That's what you do with the keys.
And this is who you have a crush on?
Wait, I'm not
the
there
lockers?
Yet. I'm not there yet. Let me cook,
listen,
Paige.
Listen, I can call it my strange addiction if you really want me to. Get you some,
I don't
get you some money.
I don't want to fuck a locker. I don't want to be fucked by a locker. They're pointy.
This is a...
I'm bad at combinations.
A genre of erotica is like
locker fucking?
sentient object.
Yeah, I know about Chuck Tingle. Okay.
I love Chuck Tingle.
I do too. I appreciate it in like an academic sense. I don't feel any tingles personally when I read about sentient, non-sentient interactions.
Have you read any of his horror books?
I love his horror books.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's bullshit. You open a locker and it doesn't matter because it's always going to be the same shit in the same order.
Do you
bullshit.
Think we could get Chuck Tingle on our show?
I don't think we have a chance in hell of getting Chuck Tingle on our show.
He seems pretty cool.
We can ask.
I'm gonna at him on threads.
Yeah, do it.
Chuck Tingle, come on my
We
podcast.
Have a podcast. Listen to our podcast. And he'll be like, you are proving love is real. I'm real busy, though. But you keep trotting, buckaroos. That's going to be the exact, yeah, absolutely. Okay, but yeah, these lockers, they have all manner of goodies. They have ammo, healing items, etc. The green goo.
Yes. Is that who you have a crush on?
No, just let me. Let me get there. Every monster you kill spews some amount of green goo. The harder they are to kill, the more green goo they give you.
Okay.
Sebastian can collect the green goo in a syringe, and when you get enough of it, you can trade that green goo for upgrades to Sebastian's person. Increased health, steadier hands for shooting, faster crafting speed. There's a whole bunch of things you can upgrade. And in that basement room of Sebastian's mind palace, administering those upgrade shots and opening those lockers, is Nurse Tatiana.
Nice.
She's hot. She's mysterious. She's from the first game, but it's really not worth explaining how or why.
That's okay.
Just know that there is a reason Sebastian wants her all to himself in that basement, baby. So yeah, that's how
with
I had a crush.
With the green goo and the lockers.
Yeah, I mean, being thrown up against lockers, it has a really satisfying, like, clang to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's an experience I had in high school. It's not. So
bullying.
Neither. Like. Nobody tried to hit me. Okay. Nobody tried to hit me, you know.
Did you hit someone else?
No, I'm joking. I have no experience with being thrown or throwing into a locker.
Oh.
This is pure fantasy. This is purely me pretending that I was the sort of person in high school that had interesting encounters of a variety of sorts. Violent, sexual. I wasn't interesting. No. No.
You can ask. What's his name? What do we call him? Sound guy?
Sound buddy?
Sound buddy. You could ask Sound buddy. I was lame.
Oh, I thought you meant Sound buddy, a reputation for, like, making out on the lockers. And I was like, that doesn't sound like the Sound buddy that I know. We had a stretch.
I mean, I guess he could have been. I wasn't being that close to attention.
I mean, I'm gonna say no. Let me know, Sound buddy, but I'm gonna say no. So, there was a stretch of lockers in my high school. So, our high school was two buildings, and there was a tunnel that connected the building. There were two tunnels that connected the buildings. One of them, there was like a bay of lockers.
I wish my high school had a tunnel.
It was fine. It flooded sometimes. But there was this bay of lockers in the tunnel that was senior lockers. Nobody ever, like, there was no adult supervision. The nickname for that stretch of lockers in that tunnel was Fuckville, USA, because that was where shit got down. Was, like, in the tunnel, in the hallway, because nobody was there were no cameras. Nobody was fucking watching.
I don't think, even if there wasn't, like, I don't think adult supervision is necessarily the thing that would be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this in public at my high school. Like,
my school had a nickname. We were called Heroin High. There was shit that happened at Montour High School, let me tell you.
Okay.
And one of them was fucking up against the lockers in the tunnel.
That just can't be very comfortable.
I don't think you care when you're 17. I don't think you have back problems yet, for the most part.
Is that pleasurable?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
It just seems like there are better ways.
I'm guessing.
Better places.
I'm guessing he was into it and she pretended to be into it because she thought she had to.
Poor children.
That's my take on Fuckville, USA.
Alrighty.
Where the hell am I? Okay, so Nurse Tatiana is hot.
Yep.
I'd push her up against the lockers unless she said she didn't like it, and then I would stop immediately because I respect her.
Hell yeah. Consent.
Gameplay mechanics. Here we are. Okay. So I just explained the upgrade system. I don't need to do that again. In many ways, this is your typical survival horror game. It is a shittier, less fun Resident Evil clone. You have weapons, you can select them by pushing whatever corresponding direction on the D-pad. You aim with L2, you shoot with R2, you got handguns and rifles and shotguns and a bow and arrow, and you got splody things. One thing that I haven't seen in other games very much is, like, so a lot of games have, like, your regular bow and arrow, and then you can unlock, like, exploding arrows and fire arrows.
Yeah.
This game also has, like, electric shock arrows and freezy arrows.
Why arrows?
You have a bow. I don't know.
Right, but like, why would they choose that to be?
Because it makes more sense than have. I don't know. They just did. I'm just telling you what they did. I didn't have a conversation with the game developer. I can't be like, explain to me your thought. What is your rationale? I don't know.
It just seems like in a world where people are able to upload their consciousnesses like that, you'd have a more advanced weapon than a bow and arrow. That's Listen, all I'm saying.
They bit off more than they could chew. They were not as creative as the world demanded that they should be. It's like, okay, have you watched any of Invincible? It's an animated.
No, I haven't.
Okay, there is a character in Invincible whose superpower is that she can manipulate all matter on an atomic level.
Okay.
That means she should be able to fucking do anything. She should be totally... All she ever fucking manages to do is, like, make force fields and, like, blast people. And it's like, you are too fucking stupid. You don't fucking deserve the power you have because you have no creativity.
Yeah.
This game is, like, the equivalent of Adam Eve. It's like, you made a world where anything could happen. And you made a bow and arrow that can do various
exactly.
shit. I'm like, sorry.
What is that? But get the developer on the phone. Like, don't you know them personally?
I don't. To be fair. They're listening, though. To be fair.
I will tag them.
The environments of this game are really cool.
Okay.
Like, they do some neat stuff with, like, the dream-like surreal. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when you go find Stefano. And he has, like, all of his, like, murder pictures are hanging up in, like, this, like, his, like, little mind castle situation. And, like, they're, I don't know. There's, like, a forest in the middle of a house. It's cool.
Okay.
It's cool. It looks sure. cool.
Okay. I believe you.
Yeah. So you got all your weapons. You have a little, like, communication device that shows you where certain objectives are. You can, like, tells you what direction to go.
Okay.
Monsters give you the green goo when you kill them. That's nice. You've got safe rooms that are both literally safe from monsters and are also places where you can save the game.
Okay.
Also, every safe room has a coffee maker.
To give you energies?
Drinking the coffee is a full heal. So you drink the coffee, and then, like,
you hit... I like the way you say coffee.
Now I'm all self-conscious. I feel like I can't say it.
The coffee.
No, don't...
It.
He has to turn on the hot drinking machine. So he hits the
so
button.
Sorry.
He hits. I'm so self conscious now. I feel like I don't know how to move my mouth. You hit the button. It starts brewing, and it takes time.
What is it brewing?
Coffee. So. We're almost done, okay? We're almost done. So, it takes time, it brews, and then you have a full heal again, but it's like, I don't know.
But you're in the safe room, so you can take the time.
You can just hang out in the safe room for, like, 20 minutes if you want, or you can just drink your coffee, hit the button, go do some shit, and when you're desperately in, you just run back and hope that it's done. Yeah.
Okay.
It's boring. Like, you can hang out in your safe room, but
no,
like, you're
I
not
going
to take damage.
While the coffee is brewing.
The way to do it is you start it brewing before you leave, because you're not going to take damage in your safe room. You're not going to need more than one.
Oh, so you get there, it's brewed, you drink it, you brew another pot, you leave.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That was my strategy.
Okay.
I
do like coffee.
I do, too. I'll never be able to order it again. I just have to point and be like that.
When you order coffee, do you say, I would like coffee, please?
Yeah, what am I supposed to say?
Well, what kind of coffee do you order?
It depends on where I am. Like, if I'm at, like, Sip, I get a latte.
Well, then you don't have
but
to say
I'm
the word
fucking,
coffee.
But if I'm, like, coffee. At a fucking Greek-owned American diner, like, every restaurant in this godforsaken town is... Then I ordered the coffee because that's the only the only form
I'm
it comes
thinking
in.
Like when you order like a latte at the coffee shop.
Yeah. Well, you weren't.
I said I liked the way you say it. Why? I don't understand.
It's like when somebody asks you, like, what side of your mouth you chew on, and then it's like, I don't know, and I can't know, because I'm thinking about it now.
Do people only chew on one side of their mouth?
There is one side of your mouth that you predominantly chew on, but you can't ever know what it is, because as soon as you're consciously aware that you're trying to figure it out, it's like, you can't.
I'm gonna figure it out.
Have somebody watch you. Ask Grumpy. Stare at your mouth while you eat.
I mean... Not like he's got anything better to do.
Not like he's got anything better. But, like, he has to do it for long enough that you have forgotten that you've asked. But he's got to be on this task like a dog on a bone. He's got to watch your mouth for weeks. And then report back.
Alrighty.
As to whether you are right side, left side chewer. Jesus Christ. Okay.
I'll let you know in a few months.
There's also kind of a neat feature in the Evil Within 2, which is the game we're talking about. So the game really wants you to be stealthy. Like, you have all these weapons, but it's designed for you to be, like, a sneaky little tiptoeing little bitch. So.
Nay.
Oh.
I'm a sneaky snake.
I just want to get through this.
I'm not even drinking this episode.
I know. What the So, I've been up since fucking 5 in the morning. I just want to get through this.
Oh, so sorry.
It's all good. So, like, if a monster is nearby, this little eyeball appears on the top of the screen. And if the monster doesn't know where you are, the eyeball just kind of, like, looks back and forth.
Oh.
But the minute the monster spots you or is aware that you're there, the eye, like, it's all wide and stares straight ahead at you.
Okay.
And it's creepy.
Yeah.
And, like, man, seeing that eye go, like, from nothing to, like, wide is panic-inducing. But it's also helpful. It's like, okay, now I know I need to get out of here or start shooting. Yeah. I've been spotted.
That's very helpful. But also terrifying.
Mm-hmm. I will say, one of the dumbest things about Evil Within 2, aside from the plot, is what it calls its difficulties.
Oh, no.
So this game has 5 difficulties.
Holy cow. That's a lot.
It's even dumber than you think. There's casual, survival, nightmare, classic, and Akumu. I know. They translated all of them, and the last one, they're just like, you know what? We're tired. We're done. It's just Akumu.
What is...
We'll get there. We'll get there. So when I played this game, I played it on classic mode, because usually classic means, like, normal.
Normal, yeah.
Not here, though!
Wake up my child.
So this game was so incredibly frustrating to play through, especially for a noob, which I definitely was at the time, because I played it on the wrong difficulty. I'll get into it. But, like, honestly, it was ultimately good for me because, like, it was sink or swim. It was fight or die. I became a much better gamer through playing this game because I fucking had to.
Hell yeah.
To make it. But casual, which I assumed was easy mode, is normal mode. There is no easy mode. The easiest version of the game is what the game maker says, like, really everyone should just play it on this mode.
Why even make other ones, then?
Listen. Listen. There is no easy mode. The first normal is as easy as it gets, called casual, which casual means easy in my mind.
Yeah.
No. Survival is a little bit harder than casual. Nightmare is harder still. Classic is basically the same as nightmare, except there are fewer save points and fewer resources like weapons and healing. So it's a little bit harder. But, like, the monsters don't die. They don't do any more damage. They don't...
Okay.
They aren't any harder to kill. So, basically, classic is hard mode.
Okay.
I played it on hard mode, thinking it was normal mode because it's called fucking classic.
Yeah.
And then Akumu is one-hit kill mode. No matter what it is, if you get hit by anything, you are dead.
That's for
insane. That is for insane gamer boys that cannot get it up unless they, like, feel like they have slain the dragon. Like, they have to punish themselves, because when they overcome this fake thing, because they will never overcome a real challenge in their pathetic lives, but they have to kill this fake monster and then go have mediocre sex with their partners who are pretending to be somewhere else. That's
or
how this works.
Maybe by themselves.
Oh, lots of by. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. By themselves. Mediocre sex by them. Man, don't you hate it? Don't you hate it when you're trying to treat yourself to a nice time, but just ends up not going the way that you. Yeah, it's like, oh, geez.
It's a bummer.
It's a bummer. Yeah, so it was really hard, but I fucking did it, bitches.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't even do it. I played this game before we had this podcast. I did it for me. I did it for me. So this game isn't amazing, and its plot is insanity. Which is honestly frustrating, because I feel like the concept could be really good if it was in the hands of somebody that knew, had the creativity and knew what to do with it. Entering someone's subconscious to do battle against the evil within is a cool idea. It has been executed in other mediums. Like, for example, there's a horror movie called Vacancy that plays with this concept really well. But this just, it got so complicated and so up its own ass. And it introduced too many twists, too many characters. Like, the whole Theodore character and that whole storyline, completely fucking unnecessary. Didn't add a thing. Just have Stefano kidnap Lily for his own reasons.
Right. Why did we need to add another layer?
It was stupid. And then have Myra do her crazy grieving mom shit. Theodore adds nothing except padding. Nothing except more time in another environment and whatever.
Right.
Pointless. The gameplay's fine. It doesn't break any new ground. It's just a fun, creepy way to pass the time. And I give it like a 6.5.
Okay.
It's fine.
I learned that on the pain scale, 6 is really high.
Is it?
Apparently. Yeah.
Doesn't it top out at 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, this is totally off topic, but I want to tell this story.
Okay.
I had my tubes removed. I had surgery to remove my tubes not this last February, but the one before. Anyway, so I get out of surgery, and they ask me what my pain was like. There was no pain chart in the room, so I don't know. I've never been in a situation where I've really needed this. Uh-huh. Like, this is the first time I've ever had surgery, anything. And so I'm thinking, like, you know what? I'm uncomfortable. It hurts a little bit. You know, I could maybe use some ibuprofen. So I'm thinking a little bit more than halfway. A 6 out of 10. That's a D. No, that's an F.
No, I think that, like, the baseline is supposed to be 0.
I know, but first of all, waking up from general anesthesia.
You're not in your best way. I get it.
And so I say 6. Because I'm, like, a little over halfway. That's, like, nothing.
A little over halfway. Life is constant torment. I'm in a little bit more torment than baseline. Give me an Advil.
And they were like, okay, get the fentanyl.
If I had a dollar. I love that. Get the fentanyl.
I don't remember if that's what they said. They might have said, okay, we're going to give you some fentanyl.
Get the fentanyl. Hit the fentanyl. It would be amazing. And it's like in such poor taste given like where we are. And but like. If we could, like, sell merch that just was, like, get the fentanyl on a t-shirt or on a hat. But it would not go over well in the real world.
So, they say that as they're, like, gonna go put it in my IV. And I flip the fuck out. Because I'm like, no, you're not giving me fentanyl.
You're not gonna kill me.
That kills people.
They're not going to.
I know. And they told me that. They were like, it's a very small dose and you're in a controlled environment. It was okay. But for me, somebody who has anxiety, anytime they take a medication they've never had before.
They should have just not said anything and sent you on a trip.
And I had a full-on meltdown. Meanwhile, they're bringing Grumpy back to me. To see me. And they're like, maybe you shouldn't come in. And he was like, no, you all messed up somewhere. I need to be here. Anyway.
They were just trying to give you the good shit.
I know. Like, most people would be like, fentanyl, that's
get the
fun.
Fentanyl.
And I'm like, I'm gonna die. And then I was freaking out because of the, you know, the vital beeper thing, all that stuff that was giving me anxiety. And so I was
you can
screaming.
Turn the sound
oh,
off.
Oh, yeah, no, I was screaming at them. I didn't realize I was screaming. I thought I was being perfectly reasonable and saying, can you please turn that off? It's making me nervous.
But in actuality,
I was... I was shouting.
Oh,
these poor people. This wasn't even at a hospital. This was like an outpatient surgery center. People had no idea what they were getting themselves into. And I don't know why I decided to have a fully elective surgery when I have so much medical anxiety. But I did it. And now I ain't having no more kids.
So now you can just hit it raw whenever you want. No, that's the benefit.
Continue. Okay. We're almost done.
I mean, you said that you still get periods, so that's not the benefit.
No, it's not. Should have had a hysterectomy.
Should have had a V8. there's some of oh, so like, but that's how we know the cops are just lying little bitch babies, because they're like, oh, he had fentanyl in a baggie and I passed out. It's like, every medical professional is like, no, the fuck you didn't, sir. They, like, that's not how this works.
They literally injected that shit right into my veins and I was fine.
Yeah. you didn't almost die.
Physically, I was fine.
From, like, it being in the pocket of a person you're arresting.
I know, because that's, like, I hear, like, you hear all these stories that, like, if you even, like, look at fentanyl, you're gonna drop dead.
No.
And so I'm like, I'm dead. I'm dying. They're putting poison
this
into
is
my
hell.
Body. Isn't that also, like, part of what makes up an epidural, though? I think fentanyl is part of it.
Ooh.
I could be wrong.
I don't know what the cocktail is. I just know I loved that epidural. Mm-hmm. God bless epidurals.
Mm-hmm. My legs felt like meat. It was very
Oh,
weird.
I had no idea where my feet were.
I would touch my legs, and I was like, these uh-huh. feel like just big old sacks of meat.
Yep. It was weekend at Bernie's from the waist down. Yep. Yeah.
Anyway.
Find us on Instagram and Patreon at Paige and Pixel PC, and a special thank you to our patrons. We got Bonego with his moderate peepee, and then we have John Red Robin Milf Hunter 69, who has one enormous peepee. And they make this show possible. If you want to be a patron and get a shout out at the end of our episodes, go throw us some money on Patreon.
Seriously, please give us money.
If we get to $100 a month in patron support, we will start dropping some monthly bonus content. Maybe a blooper reel. Maybe Paige spilling the hot book talk tea. Maybe me reading cryptid erotica. You gotta pay to find out. So, for now, dear friends at home,
read hard,
play hard, and collect green goo.